Welcome back, people. It's been a couple years, but this is It's a Done Deal, episode 6. I am Brian Kilby. With me, I have John DeLuna and the man of the hour, the guru of Dononomics. It is Don Ferguson himself, Headmaster Don. Don, welcome to your show. The next episode, It's a Done Deal.
Welcome back to my own show.
So we decided to do this as a sort of like a Patreon Q&A thing, and doing it once a month would be fun. We'll see how things work. I wanted to take calls, but we've had some technical issues, so we're not doing that. We do have questions from Patreon, and we have some buy sell holds, and a couple of new segments that have been introduced in the interim since the last episode. Hey, Don, how do you feel about having your own show again?
It's a little intimidating because whatever groove I had at the time is long gone. So I'm going to have to get my groove back on the flow of the show, because we were still working everything out, the first couple episodes, on how this was all going to work. So it's still a work in progress. You know, things will change, but we'll just see where we end up. You know, I don't think we're going to Thelma and Louise run off a cliff, but you know, it's a work in progress.
John. Oh man, now that's in my head.
John, thank you for being here.
I'm the Andy Richter or the slightly more sober Ed McMahon to Don's.
You are correct, yes.
Yes, to Don's Carson. Or young and still brilliant Letterman.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Take your pick.
Actually, I'll prefer you, John, as the announcer for Bob Barker's years on Price is Right.
Rod Roddy?
Yes, thank you.
Rod Roddy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, whatever. I'll take it. Yeah. Take that guy's style. That guy had style.
Yeah, and some of the most incredible suits on the planet.
For our Patreon members at our patrons at patreon.com/TFRadio, we have a monthly Q&A where we said, hey, you can ask questions. And on an episode of RSE each month, we will answer those questions. And I thought, you know, we can do better than that. Why don't we do a show that is for our most hardcore fans? And we'll put it out there. We'll make it available, but we'll give you exclusive access to it. So this podcast is going to be streamed live to our Discord and to Patreon. And it will be made available for 3 days exclusively to Patreon. Then we'll post it out on the interwebs for everybody else to see. We'll do it monthly. But we'll collect questions. We'll collect texts at 931-99-GO-BOT. Hopefully next time we'll be able to take calls. We had some technical issues leading into this. And honestly, a three-year-old that wouldn't go to sleep. So we are going to have a lot of fun with this. It'll be a monthly deal, and again, next time hopefully we'll take some calls. But I wanted to go ahead and start off this episode with a new segment that we didn't do the last time. It's top 10. John mentioned David Letterman. This is completely stolen from that. Yes. Basically, it's in this, Don isn't the host. Don's the audience. I want to get Don's reaction to this. So the first top 10 that we're doing on this episode, we're doing one top 10 per episode, but this top 10, it's the first one because it's the first time we've done it. It's the top 10 most hated human characters from Transformers. We're going to go in reverse order. Don, give us your thoughts. Okay. Number 10, Jinrai.
No, not after he mailed it out. No.
Number 9, Raoul.
No, I think he was, for a 80s human in Transformers, I think he was about as fleshed out as you could imagine. At least he had some personality, and it was a good friendship with Trax. So no, I don't think so.
Yeah. So
that means you don't hate him.
Yeah. Oh no, I like Raoul. I mean, I think I would have loved to see a couple more episodes of him and Trax just doing crazy undercover work or buddy comedy or something like that. I mean, I thought there was a good chemistry between the characters. I thought he was a pretty fun character. So,
hey, real quick, Raoul today would probably be pushing 60.
God,
yeah. Thanks, John. Appreciate that.
So, the one thing I didn't get across, this is my list, but I did get some ideas from our Twitter at TF Radio. In the future, I may actually have everyone vote. But this time I just wanted some feedback to help me formalize my list. So if you want to complain to somebody, complain to me. Number 8, the Robot Master.
Yeah, he's not, I'd say he's about middle list, because at least he had a redemption at the end of kind of, but he was kind of like, yeah, he's not great. Yeah, let's just say I would not have a problem with him being left out of a human 3 3/4 inch line if they ever do a Humans of Transformers line. If he's left out, that wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Number 7, in similar vein, the Mechanic.
About the same. He even to a lesser degree, because he was a real one trick pony. I mean, really, just. And it's almost like they were doing like proto villains that you would see refined and animated. So, but yeah, he's a lot less of anything than at least Robot Master had some sort of arc and redemption. Mechanic was just generic bad guy number 7.
Number 6, Daniel Witwicky. Most hated. Number 6.
Fisher jumping today.
I would say. The writing inconsistency, basically he was proto Wesley, kind of. If they had wrote him a little better.
He came out a year before Wesley Dawn. So it's, I mean, he is proto Wesley, but it's not that far.
Yeah. I'd forgotten how close they were at the time. I think he would have been a better character if he was better written, but worse character. No. At least as far as the US version in Headmasters. Yeah, not till in the early stuff, he's really annoying, but at least later on, there's some maturity to the character, so there's that, but I don't think he's that bad.
Number 5, Sam Witwicky.
Just not a really interesting character. He really, I mean, but then again, it's the Bayverse. Characterization was really not their strong point. So they could have done more with him, but he came off as just really kind of annoying, unfortunately.
Okay.
Hey, I got a hot take on him real quick. Okay. I think with a better script in a better movie, I think Shy was actually a really good casting choice. I think he could have been like, there was something there, definitely. So,
yeah,
he got sold a bad script. He was put in a bad situation, but I think like in a vacuum, Shia as Sam Witwicky is not a bad idea.
So, what I really love about this, we're doing this live. It's a nice, intimate little chat that we have going on here, and everybody's giving feedback on every single one that we're mentioning. So, this is great. When we do this again, tfradio.net/discord and at patreon.com/tfradio. This is awesome. So we love this. Okay. So Don, number 4, Miko.
Everyone knows Miko is one of my favorite characters just because of the energy, the never give up attitude. One of the producers of Prime was also one of the people on Jackie Chan Adventures, which is one of my favorite series. And there's a lot of Jay Chan in Miko, and I'm sure that's not unintentional. Unfortunately, at least in later episodes, Jade kind of had I remember this turned out bad last time. Let's try it this way. Miko never quite got the learning curve. The learning curve was kind of into a brick wall for her. I think, again, like John said, if she had been written a little better, I should say, I think she could have had more of an impact, because her and Bulkhead had really great chemistry together. I mean, they were two really good pairings. I can't hate her. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just I wish she had been fleshed out a little bit more and not quite had that straight line learning curve, like I said, into a wall, but I like her. I love the energy.
Did you ever dream you were Bulkhead? Or fantasize about it?
No.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay. Number 3, Kicker.
Bottom of the list. Worst, terrible, horrible.
Top of the list.
It depends on the. Okay. Yeah. Top of the list. Worst. Just, but again, it's Energon. characterization was at a bare minimum of, you know, and I'm using that term loosely, characterization at all, just completely unlikable. Again, until the very end when he had some kind of mellowing out. But yeah, Kicker is just, he is just annoying.
I think there are a couple more that top him. Number two, Cade Yeager.
I didn't mind Cade. I had a hard time buying him as a scientist.
He's an inventor. He's a scientist.
An inventor. Okay, I guess you can say, really. That's true.
Dr. Yeager.
Sounds like, you know, that's the part of a Three Stooges get calling Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard, Dr. Yeager, something like that. But I don't, at least he seemed to have some depth. But.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
I mean, just a tiny, like, if the surface of the planet is your average, you know, human in the movies, a spoonful of shovel, that's depth. It's technically depth.
A spoonful of shovel.
That's
Cade Yeager, 100%. And so, number one is a cheat, because when I posted this to Twitter, I didn't put human characters, I put most hated humans in Transformers media. And I had to go with number one, which is Michael Bay.
Say, and we've all said this before. Okay, the movies are not RG1. They're not meant to be. They're G1 for a new movie.
I love G1, but I know G1's bad. People who love the movies don't admit that they're bad for the most part.
The problem with Michael Bay, no matter how much you hate the movies, and some of them, it's like Revenge of the Fallen, it's a trash movie. It's an absolute trash movie. But you can hate them all you want, but the money they brought in to the franchise helped us get stuff we would never have gotten, especially in Generations and these more collector-focused lines. So you can hate the Bay movies all you want, but they did a lot of good for the rest of the fandom, even if from a trickle-down theory standpoint.
Michael Bay is the correct answer. So I'm trying to shuffle around the segments as we try to fill this out. So I want to aim for about 30 minutes for this podcast. And so we are quickly running through time right now. We're about halfway through. So let me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot to get through.
Step it up.
Yeah. So let me move to the next item. I want to. Don, this is one that we are going to lean heavily on you for to provide the material. So I'll move that to the next one, and so that we can end off with leaving money on the table. So,
okay,
a segment. I think it was Sean had. Sorry, I'm reading the chat right now. Spider Bob is like, Circuit Breaker is a good character, and Sean is like, Don's third love. Sorry, this is great. Okay. So I think it was Sean who asked to create a segment called Under the Sheets. So I'm calling it Take a Look Under the Sheets. And as we know, Don, some of your most pristine toys, you do keep them under a sheet, literally to keep UV radiation off. So,
right. I have bought a kind of a blackout curtain for that room. So hopefully I'll be able to, you know, fix that.
But this is a segment where we're going to take a look under the sheet and talk about something that is sort of either like a rare toy or something unique. And this episode, this is a selfish for me, but I'm looking to buy a Landcross, either the original Vantage G1 or the reissue. Honestly, the difference in price is much less substantial than you would think. So I wanted to talk about Landcross. So can you tell us, give us some thoughts about Landcross and how you got that toy, you know, why it's under the sheet?
Well, it's not under the sheet as more as basically in a cabinet near the back, propped up against the back of the cabinet, because it won't stand. Landcross, if you have a G1 Superion, you all know how he tends to lean backwards or lean forwards because the legs are real spindly through the hips. And he does, and I'm waving my hand back and forth like someone tilting forward or tilting back. Landcross, I did it again, Landcross. He's like that. He does not stand well in combined mode. His proportions are across the board weird. The individual robots are interesting. It's like, I hate going back to this. Well, it's like Proto-Energon with the way they can each become a top half and a bottom half. And you've got a lot of displayability either as the small individual robots or the slightly larger combined ones. But if you're looking for a good toy to display out of the box, I wouldn't spend that money. Like Brian, what did you see prices for the last time?
Mint box, about $300 for a loose one. A little less than that. A loose reissue, though, I've seen for around $150, which is crazy. Okay. Real quick backstory though. Landcross is from Victory, and Landcross is Micromasters, right? It's Micromaster Combiner.
Well, no. He's
bigger than they're bigger than Micromasters.
Yeah. They're substantially bigger. They're basically what would be the old Scout class, basically.
I only have a couple of the set. That's the Multiforce.
Yeah,
I've got a couple of them. Yeah, I mean they're small though. I mean these are bigger than say like
Omnibot size.
Yeah,
about Omnibot size. If you want a more basic comparison,
but with complexity goes, I think in terms of the Micromaster Combiners, I basically put Landcross with them when it comes to like complexity.
Yeah, I can see that. It's just if you're looking for a good out of the box figure to display, or it's a hole in your collection, don't pay too much for it loose just to have the figure on your shelf. It's not a good figure. It does not have a good silhouette. It doesn't pose well. It's more for those people that's like who are into the box art, whether you get the individual releases or you get the gift set. If you have a love of that G1 box art or that design style of the time and you want to display in the box, I can understand a box collector wanting that for the way it looks. And it's not that an easy a piece to get in the box. And I can see why someone would want it as like a grail of sorts.
I think it's a sub grail toy. I don't think it's so rare that most people would consider it a grail, but yeah. It is a there's demand for it though.
Did you guys look on eBay? I have like no idea what Landcross goes for.
Yeah, well, so I have some connections.
Uh huh.
Great Box is telling me it's Landcross. I say Landcross. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's Landcross.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like I said, if you're looking for a boxed one to put in a box display, I can totally understand you wanting one. But if you just want the loose figure to like, I'm trying to make a Victory shelf, I need one. Don't pay too much. It's just not a good looking figure, unfortunately. Mm.
Yeah, I browsed on eBay. Like, I don't know if you guys talked about this while I ran downstairs to talk about my kid, but. Like on eBay, they're anywhere from like $300 to $800. Like as far as like active listings go, that's a hunk of change.
There are other places where you can get them, and I about $300 is the price that I would normally look at.
We don't need to know about your like back alley dealings, sir. Behind the toy convention, in the alley, not the dealer room. We don't need to hear about that. Keep those tricks to yourself, sir.
Yes. But okay, so Landcross, Don, it's not one you would. Why did you buy it then? And when did you get it?
I got it back in the early 90s. I believe Tony Prieto, who we've all known Tony for years from BotCon, who runs Tempting Toys and Collectibles, and he was going to Japan and he asked me what some things that I was looking for. And I was buying all the Japanese stuff that I could at the time, because I had just found out about all the Japanese stuff that I didn't know then, and I was trying to buy as much as it really didn't care. I just wanted it because I didn't know then. It's like I bought God Bomber based on the catalog picture, not knowing that catalog God Bomber doesn't exist. So I was just buying everything at the time. But I got it for like $90 for the gift set at the time. But again, these things were everywhere in Japan because Victory had just ended not long before, and the stuff was everywhere.
You know, if you buy these from some out of Japan now, they're still not that much more expensive for at least for that set.
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not – if you're looking for Japanese Transformers because you love that era, look at some of the other stuff first. Put your money towards an Overlord. Put your money towards Star Saber or Victory Leo, something like that. Don't put a lot of money into a Landgross.
Okay, cool. Okay, so let's go ahead and move along to one of our favorite segments from the podcast, which is buy, sell, hold. This is where we give you an item or a concept, and you tell us if it's something somebody should buy, if it's something somebody should sell, or hold on to it.
Okay.
So, Don, should somebody buy, sell, hold the Siege Seekers?
I think it's going to depend on if you like. It's going to come down to what you want for your shelf display, or what you think looks better, because they're two very different aesthetics, and not everybody is going to be like Melvar that wants all these classic Seekers. I mean, not everybody's going to buy all the Seekers over again. Although a lot of folks will, but not everybody. And it's going to come down to economics that, you know, we just bought 7, 8 of these Siege molds with the Rainmaker 3-pack, Skywarp, Starscream, Thundercracker, Red Wing. You know, we got all those in the span of 2 years. That's a lot of that same remold. And then now we're buying the same characters, but in different forms. So it depends on which aesthetic you want for your shelf.
Sell.
If you're going to
sell them, get rid of them.
Yeah. Except the for Red Wing and the Rainmakers, right?
The new Earthrise Seeker is so much better.
Yeah. You're right, though, Brian. I mean, and you're right, too, John. Keep the Rainmakers, because I don't think we're going to see Earthrise Rainmakers anytime soon, because that's kind of another exclusive that's way too soon to go back to dip to the well. Although we did talk about an RFC about, you know, we're getting the same characters all over again, wave one versus wave one, you know, for the two things. So, yeah, I would say probably sell your basic Seekers, but keep the Rainmakers and Red Wing, because then if you have a Cybertron display, Cybertron the planet, not the series, at least you've got your Tetrajet forms, you know, to fit in.
Okay, Don, we're moving along. So, Earthrise Megatron, okay. Buy, sell, hold, even though it's not out yet.
Don't buy.
So, sell.
Sell. Don't even bother with it.
Okay, Don. Studio Series Devastator. Again, it's not complete yet, but
I am passing on the entire, so I'm put hold because I'm not buying any of them. I don't care. I care so little about that. I don't even look at the figures when they come out. It's like, oh, there it is. And I keep on. I saw Mixmaster today for the second time. It's like, oh, okay, there's Mixmaster.
Okay.
So I'm not even doing anything with it.
Okay. So for the next one, Don, buy, sell, hold, Pizza N.
Bye.
Buy, sell, hold, Flame Toys, Windblade.
Oh, ow, Brian, you put me on the spot there.
Oh, Don, I thought this would be an easy one.
Uh-oh.
Buy it if you like it. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Thank you, Don, for not saying I want to hold it. Okay, so buy, sell, hold, last one. Baconese.
That sounds absolutely horrible.
Matt, Timmy was telling us about that on the live stream Saturday. So
yeah,
explain it one more time. What is it?
It's like a bacon flavored mayonnaise. Okay.
Yeah.
So pass. We have two more segments. We have questions from Patreon and our Discord, and we also have leaving money on the table. Actually, Gray Fox had one last buy, sell, hold that I missed.
Okay.
This is a concept. It doesn't exist. A Combiner War style Monstructor.
Body.
Oh, yeah, absolutely agree. Okay. So, first question from Gray Fox. And this is actually to all of us, but Don, I want your take first because, of course, you know, girlfriend, you all have been collecting for decades. You have hundreds We have thousands.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, God, I wish it was just hundreds. I'm not trying to be like smug. You know, I'm not trying to be smug because that's
a curse.
It's a curse, not a blessing.
Yeah,
it's thousands.
Yeah, I had no life for a very long time, so that was not good.
You have hundreds of toys. How did you explain to your significant others when you started seeing them dating them? And did they accept it right away?
Well, I told her about 3 or 4 dates in, we were talking about, you know, we were getting to know each other a little bit more about our families and everything else. And we got around to hobbies and stuff. And I told her that, you know, I was a toy collector. And I explained that, you know, I've been collecting for, you know, a very long time. I have a very significant collection. But I also explained that I'm not one of those people that dump all my money into the collection and then have to borrow money to pay bills. And I even explained, because when I first started dating her, Dononomics was still kind of in its infancy. But I had an idea of how I was trying to get if I'm going to buy this stuff, to get the hobby, to pay for the hobby, you know. And she really seemed to like that I was one of those kind of responsible people, that I was collecting this stuff. And I got a metric crap ton of it. But I'm trying to make sure I'm paying as little as possible to get what I want.
I'm a hoarder, but I'm cheap.
Well, I mean, basically, yeah, it's like, you know, it's, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, I was trying to show her that I'm a responsible collector. The bills come first, the necessities come first, and then everything else can be finagled, which turns out is what she does, because as good as I am on doing toys, she is with like shopping and clothes. She can go to like a store like Yabe's, and she can tell from the cut, like, you know how they take all the tags off of stuff. She knows what comes from Catherine. She knows what comes from Torrid. She knows what comes from all these high end places just by the stitch, the weave, the pattern. And she gets like $50 shirts for $5.
Okay, John.
She knows what you know. So I'm just saying, you know,
John. How about?
So I got around this to some degree because when I was dating, like as a single person, like out of high school, so like between college and basically until I met my wife, I was living in apartments and things like that. So like whatever collection I had, 95% of it was in storage, or in some cases, if I was living in an apartment where I could afford like an apartment with an extra room, things were just like boxed up and just kind of like put away. So the only thing that was like visible to somebody who would go into the apartment would be maybe 2 shelves tops of Transformers. So I could just say, yeah, it's a thing. I've got like a couple of Transformers. They're fun, and kind of get away with that. But when I met my wife, I eased her into it by saying, like, basically, like, you know, I collect Transformers. What you kind of see is the tip of the iceberg. And if we ever move into a bigger place where I have some room to display Transformers, I have some in storage. And so I just kept and then also, you know, you keep feeding your significant other the line of, well, there's alcohol and drugs, and then there's toys. So of those three, this isn't a bad vice. So you're kind of conditioning them. And then, at some point, the relationship is serious enough where when you like flip up the storage unit door or whatever, they've already like accepted and committed to you. So when I was a young adult dating around, like I had the convenient restriction of living in small apartments that I could afford, and then having like a storage room like down the hall in the apartment complex. So I didn't have the temptation of displaying all my wares. And that was probably, you know, it reduced the shock and the stress levels of my dates for sure. But if I had had the opportunity to display more things as a younger man, probably would have done it anyway. And then, you know, if somebody's into you, they're into you. So it is what it is. But anyway, I had restrictions that kind of like took that out of the equation.
So for me, my now wife knew me prior to us when we started dating. So, and we worked together. So she saw my desk that was loaded down with toys. Admittedly, though, when we started dating, this was 2006, 2007. It was sort of a down period for me when it came to buying toys. And really what I was doing with my free time was, lifting weights like 3 hours a day. So I was really focused on strength, stuff like that, not buying toys. So we got married and I just quit caring about the health stuff, you know, like that happens. And the toys came back out and she literally told me that it was like a bait and switch.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah. That's basically that. Okay. Mark Alley, new patron, Mark Alley. Thank you, Mark. You're awesome. We love you.
Yay.
I'd like to know Don's opinions on trimming down a collection. I feel like mine is half finished, a mishmash of various incomplete lines. Amen. Me too. If Don were to downsize someday, how would he begin?
I have never purged. Most everyone that's collected that's reached my age or even younger has gone through purges. I never have. I've sold a lot here and there, but it's definitely not a one-to-one ratio. Get rid of one thing, pick up something else. It's definitely not that. I mean, I literally have two storage buildings right now full of stuff. And when I don't know how. It's something that's been weighing on my mind a lot these last few years on. But I'm still buying stuff because this stuff is so cool. And I reached a point a couple of years ago, I realized I'm never going to get, there's always going to be something better. We got alternators. We thought that's the best it was going to get. Then we get generations. No, we thought that's the, you know, we thought, at the time.
I didn't. Oh my God.
So, I mean, it's always going to be better. It's like this Optimus Prime and from Earthrise. Brian, I've seen you and John both say it's, you know, we can stop making Optimus Prime.
They're not
and
going to.
They won't. But they're not going to. But it may be a while before there's another Optimus Prime that's as good or better than this.
Mm-hmm.
But when that time comes, it's like it's still going to be tempting, like, oh, this is the new shiny. This is the new thing because it does this.
Don.
The one thing about – so I don't know.
So how about this? We're always looking for, like, new podcasts and content and stuff. How about we circle back in a couple weeks? We think about this. And we do an RFC Extra or a mini cast or something just on, you know, as a service to our fans. Hey, what if you do want to downsize? Hey, what if you do want to focus? We'll come up with some ideas and we'll post a podcast about it.
Just don't hold us to our own words because we may not do it.
I've done it. And I'm in the process of doing it right now. I'm at the beginning stages of it.
I know. I have just so much stuff. It's just like I look at it and I just get like, someone offered me money for everything except Massey. Just take everything. Okay. Just leave my cat.
Let's do that. Okay, so Spider Bob wants to know, of the three RC figures currently released, which is your favorite, or will you love them all equally? And how jealous will Sean need to be?
Oh, the masterpiece I want to see for the QC. I think the masterpiece looks really good, but again, it's like Chris and Rob were saying the way the angles, the flash, the lighting, the figure, and we've all seen how masterpiece pictures sometimes don't look very good at the first, like Ironhide. We all thought Ironhide was crud when we first saw him because of the pictures. Then we all got him in hand and saw how good he was. I like the masterpiece. I like the Generations one. I think the Earthrise one. I don't mind it being a part. If that's what it took to make that figure budget out for that wave, and it still looks pretty good like it does, I've got no problem with being a part from it. The whole surfboard thing is just, it's like, we got this extra part. It needs to do something, and you can't turn it upside down and make it a submarine. So it's a surfboard or whatever the case may be.
Okay.
Cyberverse has gotten a lot better, especially since they made an actual, honest-to-goodness, Generations-level figure. It's still a little weird to me to see her in that aesthetic, but it doesn't look bad. I just hope it's holds up to the quality of what we're seeing now in these $20 Generation-style figures versus what we were getting earlier with the earlier Cyberverse stuff. I want to get them all, obviously. It's just I'm just hoping for a better quality on that Cyberverse.
Spider Bob's next question. Should Haztac bring back Kiss Players using My Little Pony?
No, but I will say this, for all the grief KISS players does get, the robots were very, well, again, it was Augmenters and Biotech, which again,
yes,
it's a lot of people do not like that because the age of the age of the technology and the toy. But I think the Mirage still looks good from the Hot Rod mold. You've got the Auto Trooper that could come back with a you know, a generic troop builder if they use that somewhere down the road as a deluxe or as a $20 troop builder. Heck, you can maybe make it as a weaponizer or something like that if you wanted to. I think the concept of KISS players won't fly. It didn't fly then, and it certainly wouldn't fly now. But I think some of the toys from the line need another pass in with current technology and design style.
Okay, cool. Okay, so moving to Sean. Sean, one question that Sean asked was already answered. So we'll move to the next one. Tidy Whiteys or Commando?
You can't see me, but I'm pulling down my glasses and looking at you over my eyes. Wear what you want to wear or don't wear it there.
So in the chat, Gray Fox asked, speaking of having them all, should the Transformers Weebles get released? And I think we all know my opinion on that. I've been harping on that for 10 years. I'm literally going to get Aaron Archer on to talk about that. I just need to. I'm serious.
I mean,
just need a DM.
I'm coming up with a list of things I want to talk to him about because I don't want to bring him on just for that. But that's the first thing I'm going to ask him. I'm like, hey, Aaron, why didn't these come out?
Well, it's also the thing is that with them trying to skew to as many audiences as possible, and there's going to be an age group below your rescue bots, the very, very young. I mean, because rescue bots really aren't made for that super preschool level, but a Weeble Wobble. Yeah, and they don't fall down. So there we go.
Okay, so Don, you said Commando, right?
No, I said wear what you want to wear.
Okay, so Sean wants to know, and this for people who don't follow us on Twitter and follow Sean on Twitter, Sean posts Don of the Day every flipping day. it's art. He redraws Transformers comic covers with us and Don and. They're amazing. So, but Sean wants to know, what is your true opinion of Dawn of the Day?
I've said this before. I don't comment on it because I don't want it to be like I'm passing judgment on someone else's work, even though it does have me. If anything goes over the line, I'll make sure Sean knows, but with a polite letter, there's that. But I mean, I've never really.
I love it.
You know, it's all in fun. I appreciate it. You know, it's just a thing. I like it. I'm just not going to. I'm just not going to comment on it because it seems like it's a little self-serving.
I love it. Yeah, I get it, Don. You don't want to seem like you're an attention seeker because there's basically a comic strip about you every day. Yeah. I get it.
Well, I mean, if I'm an attention seeker, there'll be like 9 more of me in different colors. So does the world really need that?
That's true. Okay, so does Don use Miracle Whip where everyone else uses Cool Whip or whipped cream? Yes.
No. Miracle Whip is for sandwiches, deviled eggs.
Oh, God.
Egg salad.
Okay, Vector Prime. So last set of questions.
Okay.
We're only like 15 minutes over. So far, that's great. You're in charge of wave management for current day Transformers. Which characters do you release for Generations, War for Cybertron, Studio Series, and Cyberverse? So, like, name, Don, like, two characters you would do for each one. So, War for Cybertron, Studio Series, and Cyberverse.
Well, War for Cybertron being Earthrise now, correct? So, I'll go with two of my favorites, Trax and Cosmos, obviously. I love Trax and because they're voiced by Michael McConaughey. And Cosmos... If we get him released soon, he won't be the end of the line because he'll be in the middle of the wave unless they suddenly cancel everything because you know how Cosmos kills waves. But Trax and Cosmos. I mean, it'd be sort of weird seeing a UFO in Earthrise, but it's Earthrise, so you know having a UFO wouldn't be bad. Studio Series. Oh, geez, maybe the submarine that was supposed to be a Transformer. In the last night, maybe get him in the studios or her in the Studio Series, I should say. Could be like a studio series version of Dive Dive. That'd be kind of neat to see them be
real quick. Nestcord in the chat says Commander class Cosmos.
I would love to see that, but the problem is it really wouldn't fit the character being that big.
It'd be great. Okay, continue on. Continue. Sorry.
Yes. Another studio series. I'm trying to go through all the studio series figures in my head of who I like to see. Maybe the one John from. Cena. No, it's the one that was the young girl's friend that was the cover that they blew up.
The one that had the umbrella, basically.
Basically.
Had a cute name that escapes me right now.
That would be something like that right there. You know,
say like I want to say like Shuffler, but it's not Shuffler.
Yeah, you know, him and the submarine would be
Canopy. Canopy is Canopy.
Canopy.
God,
yeah.
I don't know how I remembered that.
That or the Junk Trader, which you could use a hound base for that. You know, the day trader that came in later on in the movie that was there for like 5 minutes and tops and left.
Okay, Don, Cyberverse.
See, I'm way behind on Cyberverse, so I just really can't.
So here's the thing, Don. Think of the wackiest, craziest character you could introduce and name two of them. And it's pretty apt.
Okay. Well, I would like to see the female Seeker Slipstream get a better toy. The generations level.
She's in though, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in.
Yeah. Well, so name somebody else who's not.
I didn't realize she was. I thought all she got was that crappy warrior class figure.
Like which character would you release, or like what character, like a new character?
Well, let's just be crazy then. The Ark. Let's just put the Ark in Cyberverse.
The Ark.
We'll do the Ark. Nemesis.
Okay.
But both ships get actual transforms. Yeah. Baby Hollow is all get out, but yeah. That way you finally get a bigger Ark and a bigger Nemesis to display.
Okay, Don, we have one more question that came up in the chat at tfradio.net/discord. Manny Kara asks, what's the most number of Cadbury Scream eggs you've eaten in one setting?
Before I was diagnosed as type 2 diabetic, I would probably say 4 or 5.
What?
The little 4-pack.
Don, I don't think I've eaten more than 2.
Yeah, so before I was diagnosed as type 2 diabetic, probably the 4-pack.
Oh my god.
Nice. Is that a meal?
How do you still have teeth?
How do you know he does?
I know how you became diabetic. How on earth can you eat? What?
Well, was that a meal, Don? Did that count as like a meal or a snack?
I did that one day driving home from work.
Oh, like, snack.
I joked for years that I wanted to recreate the boiled egg scene from Cool Hand Luke using Cadbury eggs, but it was just a joke. I really didn't try to do it.
Can I ask, what do you drink when you have 4 of those? Like, what are you washing those down with?
I don't think I had anything in the car. I just had the eggs.
XV is saying in the chat that he has eaten at least 10 in one sitting in his youth. I cannot imagine. Wow.
Yeah, well, I tip my hat to you, sir. I tip my hat to
you. You know, like, I have to say, though, I don't want to be like one of those guys who says, hey, you know, I'm fat, but like all my numbers are good. But all my numbers are good. You know why? Because I don't eat 15 Cadbury eggs in one sitting.
Well, I haven't done that in years.
I mean, I love them.
Do you know how long that box you sent me lasted?
You had to throw it out, didn't you?
No, I finished.
You ate it. Of course, you ate it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it was probably at least three months. Days. I had to, you know.
Okay, cool. Okay, Don. Yeah. It is that time again.
Don, all right. Weekend.
It is time for leaving money on the table.
Okay. Leaving money on the table. Hasbro is leaving money on the table because they are not making case assortments of troop builders available in the Siege and the War for Cybertron line and in Cyberverse. because a couple years ago, they talked about making available to retailers specific case assortments. Now, we didn't get a whole lot of information on our end, so I don't know all the details. XV might know some more details than I do. I'm just saying that they talked about doing that at one point, to making specific case assortments available to retailers with popular figures. They've done two different kinds of Sharkticons. They're doing an Alicon. They're doing a Quintesson. Especially the first two, Sharkticons and Alicons, are definitely troop builders. And your Quintesson could be a troop builder as well, or you need more than one, so you could have your whole court there. And them not having those available as troop builder cases to the various retailers seems to be a bad decision to me. It's not going to be a Battle Unicorn situation again. And if those of you don't remember, many years ago, BBTS was able to get cases of just Battle Unicorn
because nobody could buy the toy out at retail.
Yeah, because it was one of those tail ender figures that you couldn't find, and places like Ross and Marshalls and stuff, that wasn't really a thing at the time. You know, getting those toys at the time, so that was the only way that BBTS was filling a major collector void by having those there. Now, granted, they may have had too many with the C-Cons. The C-Cons were there a long time as well in that commemorative set. But them not making these things that are meant to be troop builders, the small Sharkticons from that Hot Rod, how many people do you think would want a box of 12 of those small Sharkticons? Or the Scraplets from Cyberverse? So them not doing that, and another subsection of that, either not including effects parts with Earthrise, because the prices are the same, the figures are about the same as Siege, yet so far we're not seeing any blast effects parts included with any of the figures. So it seems like they're probably saving a little bit of money and making a little more per figure now, unless it's balancing it out with more paint or more plastic somewhere. It could be balancing out, I don't know. But them not including that to keep the play pattern going, and not doing effects parts packages. Again, maybe as a retailer exclusive, maybe as just a case assortment. They have plenty of different molds and different colors. But people want these effects for all their figures, but you can only spread what you have so thin. So being able to buy a box of like the old He-Man's weapons packs. See, no one has done this in forever, so we don't really know how they would sell nowadays. But I think there's a lot of money being left on the table by Hasbro by not doing the troop builders and not doing these effects parts either added to Earthrise or as weapon sets. And that's a Don deal.
Excellent, Don. Great. You know, actually, this was a lot of fun. Gosh.
I had a ball. I'm just glowing. I'm beaming, guys.
I'm beaming. So we'll be back next month, Don.
Yep.
If people have questions, they can email them in to Don Deal, DONDEAL, at tfradio.net. Tweet at us. Post them on our Instagram when I share out the link. Go to Patreon at patreon.com/tfradio and join up. And when I post the link for questions, you can do that. And next time, hopefully, we will take calls. And that'll be, again, to our Patreon and our Discord. But the podcast is going to be made available to everybody. That's a Don Deal. We'll see you next time.
Take care, everybody. Happy collecting.